As the sign says, I think they've all seen it, but children's choir, grades 1 through 6, are now dismissed. Miss Tawny's back there. You can just follow her. And thank you, praise team, for leading us into to God's presence this morning. And I just want to say a word real quick. I so appreciate the testimony that Karen Rogers said, that she shared with us today. And I say that for a lot of reasons, but I hope that you hear in what she said. You know, our ministries here will change. We don't do the bus ministry anymore. We have other ministries. We have park ministry. We have the food pantry. We are trying to start Reading for Success again. And one of our biggest outreach ministries, I think, really is our small group ministry, our care groups and our life groups. So the ministries will change, but really, I think sometimes we can complicate things so much. We're talking about loving your neighbor, the command that Jesus gave us, and we can complicate that and make it into this huge, difficult, seldom achievable activity. But I really think it's so very simple. Sometimes it's just, hey, do you have a church home that you're going to? Sometimes it's just, hey, can I give you a Hershey's chocolate bar? Sometimes it's just really simple. I think of a woman, she's just deceased now, but Shirley McLeese was in this church and how she blessed so many. That all started when one person in this church, she was working in a bakery, just walked up to her while she was working and said, hey, do you have a church home? And I think of the Paul and Joyce Garrison who just were faithful to do the simple things. And they'd be the first to tell you that they did not have it all together. But they went to these homes and they invited these folks to come to our church. And think of the impact just for a moment. The tremendous impact of just this one family that's now 3 generations here, the Wilhite family. And how richly they have blessed this church body and how they've helped the kingdom of God grow here. It all started with simple things, just showing love to your neighbor. So that's what we're focusing on in this sermon series, and that's what we're focusing on today. And we're going to try to look at that a little more closely. And kind of some fun we're having with all this is that old television show, Mr. Rogers Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Pretty interesting guy, Mr. Rogers, Fred Rogers. In 1992, he received an honorary doctorate. It was his 25th honorary doctorate from Boston University. When he was announced as a participant at the commencement that day, 5,000 students who were there, they just went nuts. And they just started applauding. They stood up. They started clapping. They wouldn't stop applauding. So he's just kind of standing there at the podium, and they just won't stop clapping. So finally, the only way he could get them to stop was this one method that he used. And we have a little video today to show you what he did, Boston University, 1992.
Sing this song together. Just a bit.
It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Would you be mine? It's a neighborly day.
A neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you, so let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor?
I love this series, and I really appreciate Mr. Rogers, but I have to tell you that I can't wait to get that song out of my head. It's been running around there all these past few weeks. All right, today you are all going to get commissioned to be the hands and to be the feet of Jesus Christ. And in this series, we've been looking at how Jesus said in Mark 12, verses 30 through 31, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. In fact, Jesus repeated this part of the commandment, love your neighbor, 8 different times in the Gospels alone. And his followers knew all about this. For 3 years, Jesus' disciples, they not only saw him say this, they saw him live this. They saw him act this out again and again. And he repeated this so often that it became known as the Great Commandment. The Great Commandment. And when Jesus got crucified, his disciples were crushed. And when he was resurrected again, they were thrilled. And they wondered, what's Jesus going to do now after the resurrection? What's next? What's he going to do now to spread the mission? Whatever he's going to do, man, it's got to be spectacular. So imagine their response when Jesus gathered them together after the resurrection and said to them, I'm leaving here now, and my plan going forward is you. You're going to go out and do what I did. I'll be present with you through the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to leave, and the whole plan is you. That's it. I'm just going to turn you loose. Imagine the response that must have happened, at least initially, in some of their minds. Really? You're God? You've been at work all this time? You've gone through a crucifixion? You've gone through a resurrection? And the best you have is that you're going to turn us loose? Really? But he did. And 2,000 years later, by the way, here we are. There's never been anything like this. And this is called the Great Commission. Jesus said to them in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus said, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you until the end of the age. Notice a key part of this Great Commission, a key part of what he says here. A key part in the beginning of verse 20, Jesus says, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. What's his number one commandment? What's his number one? His number one commandment is love God with everything you have and love others as yourself. And this shows us something very interesting. This shows us that the Great Commission is tied to the Great Commandment. You can't separate them. The Great Commission and the Great Commandment go hand in hand. The Great Commission is the mandate to make disciples of Jesus, who will learn from Jesus how to obey the Great Commandment of Jesus. And that's what we're all about, especially today. Today, we're going to try to cement this. We want to bring this love, this power, this movement of Jesus to our world, especially to the neighborhoods that are right around this church, especially to the neighborhoods where you live. We want to be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. And all this is built upon a single strategy. And the strategy is this. The strategy is Jesus saying, we're going to turn you loose. Isn't that a brilliant strategy? All right, aren't you excited about this strategy? This is it. There is nothing else. Beginning in your neighborhood, that's the plan of Jesus. And when Jesus begins this in Luke chapter 10, he turns to some of his followers, and he turns some of his followers loose for the very first time. And he gives them some specific instructions. And this is all in Luke 10, beginning with verse 1, and this will be our central text for today. If you have your Bibles with you, we'll start with Luke 10. We'll look at verses 1 through 7 and verse 16. So Luke 10, beginning with verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them 2 by 2 ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. And then, moving down to verse 16, Jesus continues, he says, he who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Let's pray. Father, we continue to come before you on this day. And God, as we do, we're so very grateful to you, Father, for the almighty God that you are. And Father, the way you love us and the way you care for us. And God, even now, we lift up all the needs represented in our church today. Father, you know each hurt, each pain, each victory, each joy. Father, we ask that you would minister to each of us according to your will. And Father, we ask that you would renew within us the purpose, the reason that you've given us for living. And Father, we thank you that you make it so clear, Father, that our purpose is to love you with everything that we have. And Father, to love our neighbors as ourselves, to lay down our lives for them. And Father, we thank you for the great commission of Jesus Christ, Father, that commands us, Lord, to go and to help others to know what it means to be followers of Jesus, to know the joy, to know the peace that comes from being in relationship with him. And Father, we come before you and we ask forgiveness. God, it's so easy to get caught up in the busyness of life and, Father, to forget our main purpose for being here. And Father, so often we don't even take the time to even get to know our neighbors, much less to share your love with them. And so, Father, we just ask that you would just work very powerfully within our church. Father, that you would bring revival, that you would bring renewal. And Father, that you would bring obedience to your words. Father, that we would truly love those that you've placed around us. God, we wait on you. We ask that your Holy Spirit would speak today. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So what I'd like to do with you in the few moments we have left this morning is to look with you at some of the key ideas in Luke chapter 10 from this passage we just read. In order to describe our commission to be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ in our neighborhoods. And then after that, we're just going to move forward. We're going to go on in the months to come, but it's all built on this strategy that we'll see here. The strategy we've been looking at these last 2 weeks. And the strategy, again, is this. The strategy that God has is love God with everything that you have and love your neighbor as yourself. When he says love your neighbor, he means your real neighbors, right here, who are right next to you right now, wherever you're living. That's who he means. The neighbors that we have right around us at this church, the neighbors who are living right next door to you. So we're going to walk through some of the key ideas from this, and then you get your commission. At the very beginning of Luke 10, we're told that the Lord Jesus Christ appointed 72 of his followers, and then he sent them out. And I'd like to just pause here for a second. That sounds so simple. But the biggest single step in the whole process is when the disciples left the safety of being huddled together with Jesus and actually went out to meet people, actually went out into their neighborhoods. And they would say the wrong thing. They would do the wrong things. Sometimes they would pray the wrong things. But that was okay. They could learn. They could get better. But one thing mattered. One thing was all important. First, they had to go. So step number one in your commissioning to love your neighbors, to be set loose, to do God's kingdom work is this. Number one is just get out of the house. Simply get out of the house. And we live in a culture that does not reinforce this at all. We live in a culture that says, build a fortress around you. Shelter yourself in. Don't bother getting to know your neighbors. So this is countercultural. But step one is just get out of the house. And you have a house of one kind or another. You have a house or an apartment complex or something. But the key is you have to leave it. You have to get out. You cannot outsource loving your neighbor. Our country, we like to outsource everything and anything, but this is one thing you cannot outsource. You cannot outsource loving your neighbor. And if you get out of the house, if you reach out to one of your neighbors, you may say something wrong. You may do something wrong. You may have an unpleasant experience. But if you don't get out of the house, you cannot love your neighbor. So yes, it may not go perfectly, but if the solution is, oh, I'm just going to stay in, then you've lost already, and the evil one has won. You cannot love your neighbor unless you're willing to get out. So you have to get out of your house. You have to get into your neighborhood. And here's the thing. Jesus Christ, he's already at work in your neighborhood. Do you know that? If you're praying, Jesus, I want your kingdom to grow right here, God hears those prayers. Do you know that? And that means that through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is already going out in your neighborhood to the people right next to you. He's already going out, if you're in an apartment complex, to the units right next to you. And he's at work. He's softening hearts. He's preparing the way. He's already at work there. He's already present. So take a walk around your neighborhood. Bake some things if you're good at cooking stuff. Or go to Walgreens, buy a Hershey's bar. Whatever it takes, and give that to somebody. And you, by the way, your yard, your home are part of your ministry. Whether you want them to be or not, they're either going to be a negative part of your ministry or they're going to be a positive part of your ministry. But your yard and your home, they are a part of your ministry. They belong to God. And because of that, they are part of your ministry. So perhaps consider using those blessings that God has given you to invite some people in your neighborhood to come over to your place. And by the way, it is a great time of the year to be doing this. We live in a football crazy culture, which is hallelujah, which is not always a bad thing. But because of that, invite somebody to come over for a game. Or what are we coming up on? We're getting very close to Thanksgiving. We're getting very close to Christmas. A natural time to invite somebody over to celebrate Thanksgiving, to celebrate Christmas. So the first step is you just have to get out of the house. Jesus' first thing he did was to send them. They did not feel adequate. They did not feel like they had it all together. But it didn't matter. He was going to go with them. So step one is get out of the house. And step number two in your commissioning, step number two to love your neighbors is this. Do ministry in community. Do ministry in community. Jesus sent out 72 of his followers in Luke chapter 10. And we're told that he sent them out two by two ahead of him. Have you ever thought about that? Why didn't he just send each one, each of the 72 different places? It's very intentional here. Why did Jesus, it says in Scripture, send them out two by two? Well, when we're by ourselves, what can happen? When we're by ourselves, we can get very easily discouraged. When we're by ourselves, we can have one or two disappointments, and then what do? Well, I'm done with this. I quit. Huge difference when you go with somebody else. When you go with another person, when you go with another partner, you can keep each other encouraged. When you do this with a partner, you can say, I want to love people in my neighborhood more effectively. Would you pray with me about this? Would you ask me how it's going? Would you keep me accountable? Would you dream with me about this? Much easier to do when you have somebody else by your side. So, what Jesus is conveying here is that we all need to find at least one other person to talk with about this spiritual adventure of loving our neighbor. This is part of your commission. We'll go out at least two by two. If you're married, it'll probably be the person you're married to because you're right there in the same neighborhood. If you're not married, maybe you'll find an attractive stranger right here at church today. And you can go up to them and say, hey, would you marry me so that I could be more effective in neighborhood evangelism? Or maybe not, but find somebody. And maybe there's somebody on your block that you can do this with. Maybe there's somebody in your apartment building. Maybe there's somebody in your small group, and you can just say, hey, would you be with me on this? But we do this in community. We want to go up to be in ongoing relationship and worship with God. That's the first part of our church goal, is to worship, is to be in God's presence, to let God feed us. And then secondly, we want to go in, to grow in relationship with each other. And this is part of that. That two by two is part of that, to do our walk with Christ together with another. And then third, we go out. We go out into acts of service into our neighborhoods and beyond. And please don't miss that this is really what this whole series is about. So let me recap this again. I think you all know it. What's our church goal? Let's say it together. Those three words: worship, grow, serve. Worship and growth are all important, and we talk a lot about that here. Worship is you being with God, you being fed by the Lord, not just on Sunday morning, but how do you walk with Him every moment of every day in relationship with Him? You have to have that. That's where we get our spiritual nurturing, our spiritual food. Growth, what is that? God never made us to do the Christian life on our own. He wants us to do the Christian life together. He wants us to be in relationship with other believers, and we're fed by that and strengthened by that. But we don't stop there. If we just stop there, what are we doing? Then the Christian life is really just about intake. It's just about what's for me. And that is never God's plan. But very often in the church today, I think if we're honest, a lot of people just kind of draw the line right there. I'm being fed in worship. I worship daily in my quiet time. I'm being fed on Sunday mornings. And I love my small group. I'm being so encouraged. Man, the Christian life is great, period. Tragedy. That's like always working out and never playing in a game. That's like always practicing your instrument and never having a concert. God is feeding you so that you can serve. And the heart of service is loving your neighbor. The heart of service is getting out of your house. And it doesn't have to be going across halfway across the world. It can be that. It doesn't mean having to do all this, you know, huge plan and system. Very often it's just simple. Just getting to know your neighbor and just loving them. That's the serve. All right. Step number three in your commissioning to love your neighbor is this. Pray regularly for your neighborhood. Pray regularly for your neighborhood. Jesus said the harvest is what? The harvest is plentiful. God wants to do so much, everybody needs God. But the workers are few. And who are the workers? The workers are just people. People who go and love their neighbor. Therefore, Jesus continues, pray to the Lord of the harvest. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send out workers into his harvest field. This business of loving your neighbor, that is not a human task. We can do it that way. We can just kind of be kind of lockstep obedient. Okay, I guess I have to do this. I guess I'll go do it. And we can try to do it in our own power. Gigantic mistake. Loving your neighbor is always supposed to be a God-empowered task. So that means for it to be a God-empowered task that we have to pray. God, would you go ahead of me? God, would you prepare the way? Even for something as simple as, I see my neighbor raking leaves in his yard. This might be a good idea for me to go. Time for me to go talk with him. God, would you go with me? Would you go ahead of me and bless this time? Pray for your neighbors. Pray that God will bless them. Pray that God will give you opportunities to reach out to them. And I got to tell you, prayer is so powerful. God does incredible things through prayer and allowing us to reach different kinds of neighborhoods all the time. Part of my job as pastor here is to go to visit people when they're in the hospital, to go and visit people in nursing homes. And some of these nursing homes especially, they're kind of their own little neighborhoods. And I'm amazed sometimes about the power of prayer when it comes to these kind of communities. There's a member in our church right now who's in a nursing home, and I've gone to see her a few times. And just a few weeks ago, I went to see her again, and she's in one of these nursing homes where you got to put in all these special codes even to get back to where she is. But she finally get back there, and I got back there, and I've been praying, God, you know, please be with me during this time, and use this however you want to. And I get back to where her room is, and for whatever reason, there's like 10 nurses kind of sitting around outside her door. And I walk up there, and one of them says, "Oh, it's that praying pastor again." And so I'm like, "Hey, how are you guys doing?" And one of the nurses just kind of pipes up and she said, "You know what? I could really use somebody to pray for me. I'm really facing a lot right now." And you could just feel the Holy Spirit right there. And God just used that moment. So, you know, please tell me. And so before I knew it, there's like all 10 of us right there in the hallway. We're just having this impromptu prayer meeting. And we're just praying that God will bless the fire out of this nurse. And it was awesome. But that all happened because of prayer. When we pray that God will go with us, when we pray that God will go ahead of us, God blesses that and God honors that. And do you know that every neighborhood needs prayer? And it's kind of a funny thing. People rarely get offended if you just offer to pray for them. But we have to take the time to get to know them. And we're going to pause at this point. Does everybody remember this little chart? Little chart we passed out about 2 weeks ago. And the idea here is that if you're a first-time visitor, this may be new to you, but hopefully for most of you, this is not new at all, that you were expecting this. Your house is in the middle, and there's all these homes right along the side of you. So we did this test about 2 weeks ago, and we're going to do it again today. So if you have a pen or a pencil, if you would please pull that out. I think ushers tried to give everybody a pencil here. And let's take this test again. Let's do this again. And again, I hope that you guys were expecting this. And I'd like to ask you once again, we've been, as a church, we committed to this. As a church, we said, we're going to get to know our neighbors. We're going to get to know the names of the people who just live in the home or the apartment unit or whatever, right across from us, front and back, left and right. And so I'd like to ask you to take a few minutes and do this again and write down the names of the adults, of the people who live in the homes next to you. And if you know something you can pray about for them, as you've gotten to know them, write down what those prayer requests are. Put it in those little houses. And so let's just take a couple of seconds, and if you would, please fill this in as best you can. All right, question on this little exercise that we're doing together. How many of you today found this a little bit easier to do today than you did 2 weeks ago? All right, outstanding. See several hands, a little bit easier. We are under grace here, and so I know that sometimes time can fly. So if you weren't able to do this in these past 2 weeks, we are under grace, and you can do it this week. But use this opportunity, use the time God's given you to go and get to know who your neighbors are. Because what does it all really boil down to? You have to know your neighbor in order to love them. And if you don't know them, it's very difficult to love them. And is this something that's kind of optional for the Christian life? Not at all. Jesus doesn't say, hey, some of you, I need you to go and love your neighbor. Nuh-uh. Jesus says, all of you, I need you to love your neighbor. It starts just simply by getting to know them. All right, there's a lot of ways to do this. There's actually a new social network program called Nextdoor. And I'm not very much of a social network guy, but I did try this. And much to my surprise, Nextdoor, this program, I put it in my computer, and boom, like 100 of my neighbors within a few blocks were also participating in this, and it's been another way I've been able to get to know some of my neighbors. So lots of different ways to do it, but the key here is to pray for your neighborhoods. Pray for your neighbors. The next step flows out of a very intriguing command that Jesus gives. Step number 4, in your neighborhood, look for the person of peace. Look for the person of peace. A fascinating part of Jesus' instructions in Luke chapter 10 is where Jesus says, when you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you. And that's some very fascinating stuff that Jesus says about the person of peace. What does Jesus mean by this? I think part of what he means is that you only have a limited amount of time and energy. You only have a finite amount of time and energy that you can give. So he says to his disciples, when you go to someplace, look for people who are ready to receive the blessing that you have to offer. And then focus on them. Focus there. The person of peace is somebody, and we all have this person in our neighborhood. The person of peace is somebody in your neighborhood who is hospitable and receptive and responsive and open to becoming a friend. And when there are people who seem to be responsive, you want to focus especially, concentrate your attention and your time and your energy especially on them. Invite some of them to dinner. Take a housewarming gift to somebody new. Let people know if their yard looks good. And then look and see how people respond. And focus on people in your neighborhood who are most receptive to your friendship, most receptive to spiritual conversation. I can't tell you how powerful this is. And this is, again, this isn't some human plan that somebody, some professor somewhere came up with. This is Jesus' plan. Look for that person in your neighborhood who's most responsive and invest in them. And when you do this, we've seen this here, powerful things can happen. That person can become the catalyst for the kingdom of God just exploding in your neighborhood. Very, very exciting, but it starts with us being sensitive, being responsive to how people react. All right, step number five. Step number five in your commissioning to love your neighbor is love in true humility, not in false superiority. Love in true humility, not in false superiority. Jesus said to his disciples, do not take a purse or bag or sandals. Very interesting. The disciples were not just to bring their giftedness, they were also to bring their need. They would have to ask people for help. They would have to be humble. And this is brilliant. As followers of Jesus, to love our neighborhood does not mean that I have to have it all together. I can just go as myself. You can just go as yourself. All our warts. We don't have to become these perfect people. We can go just like we are. And it's a strange thing. We can only love out of mutual, common, needy humanity. That's really the only way that love takes place. I read a few weeks ago about an 8-year-old who was kind of a nerdy, clumsy, chubby little kid. And one time a group of bullies were chasing him and calling him Fat Freddy. And he ran towards the home of an elderly widow in his neighborhood. And he prayed that she would be home, and he prayed that she would let him in. And she was home, and she did let him in. And he said that this experience actually built up his faith in God. His full name was Fred Rogers. That was Mr. Rogers. And that's part of the reason why the neighborhood came to have such a precious part in his heart. And he really led an amazing life. He would wake up every day at 5:30 a.m., and he would pray, and he would read the Bible. And then he would sing hymns before he went swimming, which was his morning exercise routine. And he would weigh himself on a scale every day. And for most of his adult life, he maintained a weight of 143 pounds. And that was his favorite number, because it takes one letter to say I, it takes four letters to say love, it takes three letters to say you. And that sounds like kind of a corny thing, and it is kind of a corny thing. He was just an easy guy to make fun of, but that's part of why he was loved the way that he was. We don't go into our neighborhood. We don't go as Superman. We just go in brokenness. Very key. All right, last step. Step number six in your commissioning to love your neighbors. Don't be discouraged by rejection. Sooner or later, this is going to happen. We're all going to experience it, but don't be discouraged by rejection. And just to level the playing field here a little bit today, how many people here have ever been rejected? Either for a date or a job or a romantic relationship or a loan or a school? Mercy. What a bunch of losers all over this room. did Jesus ever get rejected? The Bible says in Isaiah 53, verse 3, that he was despised and rejected by men. But being rejected never turned Jesus into a negative person. Never did. He said to his disciples, if you come to a place that is not receptive, what did he say to do? Shake the dust off your feet. In other words, don't mope about it. Don't get discouraged about it. Shake it off, because he says in Luke 10, verse 16, he who listens to you listens to me. And he who rejects you rejects me. And Jesus is not saying that if your neighbor doesn't like you, that you should go up to your neighbor and say, hey, you don't like me, therefore you're rejecting Jesus. You're in big trouble. No. All right? It may be the reason my neighbor doesn't like me is because I'm unlikable. And God has some work to do in my life. The point is, if somebody doesn't respond to your first conversation by converting to Christianity and becoming your best friend, don't get discouraged. Don't give up, because, again, this is so important. All this is not our idea. Whose movement is this? This is God's movement. The Love Your Neighbor plan is God's plan, and it started with Jesus. So today, we're going to get commissioned to offer our lives to him. And that is the best. And today, we're going to get commissioned to love our neighbors and to be turned loose. Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now, And Father, we our minds are blown really by the fact that, you trust us with your kingdom work, that you place your kingdom work, Father, in our hands and our feet. And Father, you call us to be just that. And Lord God, we know that this is not a human commission, that this is your commission. And so, Father, we just ask that you would commission, that you would recommission us right now, Father, to be faithful, to be the people that you've called us to be. And again, Father, we acknowledge that we can so easily let things get in the way. Father, and we can let our hearts become callous. But Father, we ask that you would soften hearts today. And Father, that we would be receptive to your plan and your ways. And Father, we ask that you would renew the joy of our salvation. And Father, that you would show us again how very much you love us. And Father, because of that incredible love, a love that would even allow your own Son, Father, to take the punishment that we all deserve. Father, that kind of love, a love that watches over us day by day. A love, Father, where your Son intercedes for us constantly, where the Holy Spirit groans on our behalf, that kind of love. Father, God, help us to lay down our lives for you, to love you with everything that we have. And Father, we know that for that to be real, that you call us to love others, all others, Father, as we love ourselves. And Father, we know that your scripture says that there's no greater love than one who would lay down his life for another. And Father, help us in our mind's eye to consider those, Father, in the neighborhoods where you've placed us, those who live right beside us, those who are in the neighborhoods around this church, those who are in our workplaces, those who are in our schools, those who live in homes and who live in apartment units right around us. And Father, we lift those people up to you right now. We lift those situations up to you right now. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would go ahead of us. Father, you would soften hearts, that you would open doors, that you would create opportunities, Father, where we could just get to know our neighbor. And in knowing them, Father, that we could express love to them. And expressing love to them, let them know, Father, about the love that is within us because of Jesus. Father, we ask that you would send us out and that we would be faithful and that we would make your commission, Father, and your great commandment our priorities. Father, we look to you. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.